trusting God to meet the needs of our lives. And this is far beyond the temporal and the superficial, material and physical. It's exciting to know that God can literally change us inside. Don't you dare believe that lie that, well, you're just like you are, and that's all. There's nothing you can do about it. There isn't anything you can do about it. You're right to that point. But I'm here to tell you that the living God, and the living God living inside of you, wants to be to you all those things that you've become aware that you needed, like peace, joy, and on and on and on. Those things are living, they are residing inside of you. Now, after I realized that the same Johnny was going to be facing the same situations that had gotten her into the fix she was in. No. This was the way I was thinking, okay, these things have gotten me into the fix, now what's going to make the difference? I came to see that nobody could be blamed, and this is heavy, so hang on. Nobody can take your peace away from you. And in my heart, I had been blaming others, circumstances, and what have you for taking my peace away. Never said it quite like that. That's what I had done. When I began asking God, now Lord, if you really do live inside of me, now I need to know how you living inside of me can make the difference in my same circumstances. Now, up to this point, when Peter did things that I thought were unfair and hurtful and inconsiderate and unkind, I have inwardly resented them, and bitterness has just gotten hold of me. Now how? You're going to need to teach me how to release your life in me. And like I said, he will certainly give you the opportunity through situations to learn how. Christianity is not magic dust. That when you decide you want to let the Lord make you different, he comes along and sprinkles a little magic dust on you, and that's the end. That's what we'd like. And I think that's what I'd waited for a long, long time. But I've come to see that's not the way God works. So one morning, after I'd asked God to teach me, Peter came in. Don't remember what he did, but I tell you, I thought to myself, that must be just about the most inconsiderate thing anybody ever did. And those old thought patterns began to turn. You know, we all have some old thought patterns. It doesn't take much to mash a button and the whole reel goes into play. And that's what started to happen. The old resentment, defensiveness, poor me. The whole thing started. Did I share with you a about that time it seemed that the Lord tapped me on the shoulder? I didn't feel a touch, so I don't want to mislead you. But it was if I felt a tap on the shoulder. And the Lord said, Johnny, I love Peter right this minute just as much as I love you. Now, that was after he'd just been so inconsiderate, just, you know. And so my response was, Lord, how could you? You saw what he did. And I didn't say a word. And he repeated, I love Peter right this minute just as much as I love you. You see, Johnny, that's why you need to release my love. My love, my kind of love, does not fluctuate with the situation. God's love, he doesn't love us just when we are good girls. He loves us just as much when we're bad as he does when we're good. Don't you ever teach your children that little song. Jesus loves you. Loves, what is it? Yeah, but what is that verse? Yeah, and he doesn't when I'm bad. I mean, you know, that's not true. That's a good one, but there used to be a verse that was that gave the wrong impression that when you did bad, watch out. He didn't love you then. But he does, and you need to know that. And you need to know that about that person you're resentful of. You see, God began showing me how important it was that I recognize that I come to understand what kind of love his love is. You know, he showed me, I just began thinking, I was pointed back to the Old Testament and how many times when the children of Israel had sinned, God's love would take the initiative. He would, of course, he would punish them for their sin, and then he would take the initiative. He was the one that would reach out and draw them back to himself. And on through the Bible, we would see God dealing with sin, yes, but his love always taking the initiative to draw us back, draw whoever it was back. God's kind of love always takes the initiative. He went on and reminded me, Johnny, Christ died for you while you were yet a sinner. He did not wait until you got all straightened out. And then he went on and really just kind of really laid me out with this one verse that said, this is Johnny's paraphrase, so what if you do good to people when they do good to you? Even the heathen do that. Now, how can we justify wrong attitudes and getting somebody back and yet say we have God's love in our heart? We're just deceiving ourselves, because, you know, I found out that I was trying to hang on to my right to feel like I did. Well, for one thing, God showed me, the longer I hung on to it, the more miserable I was. So that's dumb, to hang on to your right to be resentful. All you're doing is holding your anguish into yourself. You're making yourself miserable. One of the things that he showed me about dealing with the resentment in my heart was a passage over in Matthew 18. You know the story. I knew the story. But some way I'd always have not even heard the truth that one of the truths of the story was all about. If you look in Matthew 18, the last part of that chapter, it tells about this ruler that forgave a servant a large debt that the servant owed. Turn to that. Then, you remember? The servant turned right around and refused to forgive another servant a very small debt. Now, looking at the end of that passage, what does it say? It says, then the Lord summons him and said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Did you know the last verse was there? It says this, so shall my heavenly Father do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. In other words, if I hold on to an unforgiving spirit, which is all that resentment is, if I hold on to an unforgiving spirit, then I can expect torture within my soul. That's what happened. The Lord showed me one day, Johnny, that's what happened to you. That is what was going on inside of you when you were eaten up with bitterness. You were holding to yourself an unforgiving spirit, and that was tormenting you inside. An unforgiving spirit, you know, if you will acknowledge the truth, is just asking for torment within your own soul. You can't. The longer you hang on to it, the more eaten up you get inside. So turn it loose. Now we have the choice of an unforgiving spirit is a response or result of resentment. We have the choice of either the turmoil that comes from holding that to our breast or releasing God's love at that moment. It's a choice. I remember when the Lord said, see, Johnny, you need to turn my love loose. My love doesn't fluctuate. My love takes initiative. And I says, but Lord, I don't think he always deserves your love. And the Lord reminded me, Johnny, isn't it when you're the honoriest? That you need loving the most. That's when it means the most for Peter to just take you in his arms and just hold you. When you're your very honoriest is when you need love the most. And that's the way with him. Okay. So as I prayed for the Lord to teach me His response rather than my own in the situation that I lived in, He showed me I must release His, I could release His love. But I found out that it was a situation by situation choice that I made at the point. There was a point of decision where I chose whether I was going to or not. It wasn't, Lord, make me loving, and it happened. No, there's always a choice on my part to either let God love Him through me or me just be resentful. Well, I said, Lord, I don't have very much of that. I don't understand very much about that kind of love. You'll need to teach me how to release your love. And that's what we began doing. Now, I began asking Him, just as I told you this morning about me trusting Him as I interceded for Susan. Well, then I began looking to Him as I petitioned for myself. And it was the same pattern, almost. I'd say when I'd hear the car drive in the driveway at night, okay, Lord, I'm not ready yet. I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to see how You'd love Him tonight. It was a learning how, and it wasn't too long before I realized the time to really pray that was first thing in the morning, not wait till I heard the car drive in at night. Because the Lord began dropping in thoughts that I could do all during the day that would get me and Him ready for the night. You see? When He'd be home. Little things like that button that I knew He needed sewed on right there that I had full intentions of doing. I did not rebel against sewing on that button. Not in the least. I intended to do it. But by the time I got the children taken care of and my Sunday school class and the neighbor that might be sick, there just didn't ever seem to be quite enough time to take care of those little things. And surely He'd understand. After all, I was busy doing the more important things. Do you think He understood? No. And He wasn't supposed to. You see, one of the first things the Lord had to show me that my priorities were all out of whack. And that was one of the reasons He did a lot of the things that I resented so. I thought, because I could pass it on a test, I thought I had my priorities lined up right. I'd have told you, I'd have told anybody, well, sure, we love the Lord first and then our husband and then our children and then whatever, you know, whoever else the Lord fits into our lives. I could have answered the questions on a test. But God said, doesn't matter what you know, it's what you live that matters to me. What you live is the truth about your priorities. When I stood off and began to look at the truth about how I lived, I came to see that Peter was right. Not only were the children before him, but a lot of other people were practically and in reality before him in my considerations. The children were first and foremost. Well, I've wondered, how can you help that? I mean, after all, you're a mother and you're here with them all day. Surely they get more consideration than he does. Just time and requires that. But you see, it isn't a matter of quality of time, quantity of time, it's the quality. And one of the little practical things that God showed me to do was when I think schedule for the day, after thinking God first, think Peter. Lord, is there anything that I need to do for Peter today? Make sure that his needs are taken care of before I move to the needs of the children. That's how I got tripped up. Because the children demanded their needs be met. It was the type of need they had that was different to his. They had to be changed and they had to be fed, and that, you know, there was no question. You just do those things. So I was not choosing. I was allowing myself to be pressed. I was not choosing according to what I knew to be right. I was just being pushed along. And guess who did the pushing? When I backed off and looked, it was very easy to see that I was being maneuvered out of the priority, my priorities as they should have been. You look back and you wonder how you could be so dumb. I remember that there was a time in my life when if I happened to get in late from taking care of somebody, I couldn't understand at all why the kids and my husband weren't just proud of me, just pleased as punch. Why, of course, surely they would go ahead with supper and get it going. Because after all, I was out doing something very important. Well, I'd come home and I didn't find that situation. And I'd have to go tearing around and you know, when all of a sudden you realize you've been out ministering too late and supper's not ready and usually what you were going to have isn't thawed, and there's a pandemonium sets in, and before you know it, you're snapping at the kids, and then there he comes in and it's not near ready, and he gets out of sorts, and I mean, it seems like it's all so unfair. Oh. Thank you, Lord, for being able to show us the truth when we let you. And I found that was a lot of the problem. That was a lot of the reason that Peter did a lot of the things that I resented, because my priorities were all out of whack. And he knew where he was in my life. And I wouldn't admit it. But he knew the truth. Now, it's so precious to me. You know, I mentioned how I had such a resentment about that dirty pile of manure. Well, it was so sweet, because after I let the Lord take care of my resentment, cleanse and fill me with his attitude, one day I was able to talk to Peter without being defensive or offensive or any of those things. And I said, honey, you know, I really need you to pray for me about something. I'm really needing your help. You know, every time I see that pile of dirty underwear in the bathroom, there's something inside of me just rises up, and I just feel like you think I'm Rachel. And I said, I know that's not right. So would you just pray that I won't be so resentful? He said, what? I don't even need to pray about it. I'll just pick them up. Never occurred to him. Never occurred to him in his wildest moment. That was a problem to me. That's what he'd done from the day he undressed to go to get a bath, you know. I mean, that was just his way of life. And I'm sure he never thought what happened to him from then to when he saw him. And, you know. So help me. From that day until not long ago. But there's something better. That's what I want to say. Why I said not long ago. If he would ever have to dash out and some all of a sudden get the door and realize, oh, I forgot my clothes there on the floor, he'd say, hey, Johnny, if you just leave those things in the bathroom, I'll get them when I come in. And, you know, it was so sweet. I could go in there and I could really enjoy picking up that underwear and putting it in the basket. Really. Well, not too terribly long ago, it's so funny to me to show you what God will do with a little thing when we'll let him work out of us those horrible, unforgiving feelings. One day he came in not too long ago and he was all excited. He says, Johnny, I got hold of the best idea today. I don't know why I didn't think of it a long time ago. And I said, well, what in the world was it? I thought it was just, you know, we were going to do something fantastic at the church or something. He said, I was at the cleaners and I asked him, how in the world do they keep up with all those socks? And he said, well, all you do is put a pin in the pair. And he said, I got him to give me a handful of pins, and he says, every time I take off my socks, I'm going to pin those together. And he said, you just let them go through the washer and go through the dryer and put them in the drawer, all pinned together, and then when I take my dirty ones off, I'll take that pin and put it on the... Now, you know, that is almost ridiculous for the Lord to do such a good job of that old aggravation that I wrestled and sweated and got all bent out of shape about. But so can what he do? And I tell you, it's exciting what he does when we turn loose of unforgiveness. Just forget, turn it loose. And give the Lord inside of us an opportunity to reach out in his kind of love. You know, I don't know, it's funny that this should be underwear too, but one of the things, I guess that was such a biggie for me when we were first married, but one of the things, one of the positive practical things that the Lord dropped in my mind one day was to check the drawer before I went to bed at night. Because, you know, you can do the clothes and have them done for every day for months, but one day it'll happen if you're not careful. And I learned just before I go to bed tonight, at night, if there's any question about it, check and make sure. There's at least one set of clean underwear for tomorrow. Because you can still always throw one in and get up, you know, when you get up early in the morning, stick it in the dryer, and they never know that they almost had a crisis. God is interested in our homes operating in peace and us not, you know, being neglectful. Those are all little things, but they're important. And he will tune us into them if we let him. And if it's important to us that we please him and we be the wives and the mothers in that home, that will give him pleasure. He will just outdo himself showing us how to do it. That's so exciting to me. It really is. Then the other things I wanted to share with you. Just real briefly, because it's about time for us to break up into our prayer group and our sharing groups. But another thing I wanted to just share was something that the Lord showed me as I was seeking help in my role as helpmeet. And this is looking to Him to make a difference in my heart and in my life. I was really confused about my role. And again, it was one of those times, Lord, there's sure some kinks that need to be straightened out. And He took me back over in Genesis where it says, He said to me first before I turned, now, your problem, John, is arithmetic. When I look back and read those verses, He says, the two shall be one. He said, you plus Peter equals one. Now, the problem is you have been expecting Peter to be complete in himself. You're expecting more out of Peter, Lord, than I am. I'm not expecting Peter to be complete without you. It's intended that you and him make one. And here you're just so disillusioned because he's not all this man you expected him to be. Now, he went on and impressed me. Now, let me just throw in something. Somebody asked me how I heard the Lord. Did the Lord speak? And I don't want to confuse you. I have never heard the Lord speak audibly. But these are impressions that he puts in my mind that I know are not mine. And when I'm looking to him and these thoughts come, then that's my way of knowing what he's saying to me. So I don't want to misguide you. I don't hear an audible voice all the time telling me all these things. But I just somewhat know what he's saying in my mind. And I got myself sidetracked, but when I said the Lord said to me, I remembered somebody just at noon had asked me what I meant by that. But, the Lord impressed me that I was not to be unrealistic when I thought of Peter and, you know, with the idea, oh, he's wonderful, there's not a thing wrong with him, and all this stuff. The Lord said, no, you be very realistic. As a matter of fact, he had me make a list of the things that I knew needed to be made different in Peter's life. Make a list of their needs. Now the Lord says, I want you to turn that into your prayer list. Now, I'd always considered that like a chore list. You know, I had in my mind all these things I was going to get done in his life. But no, God says that's why he gives women the discernment and insight that he does. That's so we'll know what to trust him to do in our husbands. And I want to tell you, the quickest way to your husband is this way. Because you'll find if you go this way, the distance gets further all the time. And this is what had happened to us. And so as I began trusting God to bring about the changes that he showed me were real in Peter's life that he needed help with. It was so exciting. I don't know how many times it has happened through the years that I will pray about something in the morning. The Lord will give me some understanding. Well, now, Peter's going to be facing this and, you know, trust me that he didn't handle it this way, but that, you know, so and so. Well, I don't know how many times he hadn't come in maybe later that day and say, you know, Johnny, the greatest thing happened to me this morning. You know, this thing that has just had me perplexed for so long. I was reading Borum, or I was reading somebody, and I got the most light on that subject. I really see what I've been doing wrong all the time. And here it is, just as plain as day, just step by step what I'm supposed to do. Well, you learn to bite your tongue and don't say, well, that's exactly what I prayed you'd do, you know. But it's thrilling for you to trust God to bring them light in an area they need light. And literally have it happen that specifically. And it doesn't every time, but there'll be many times that somebody will be sent by, will say just the thing that they needed to hear as you trust God to work in their lives. And one of the thrills is to realize that your husband is not your burden, not your responsibility to keep lined up straight, to walk the straight and narrow. That's not your responsibility. And as you turn him over to the Lord and literally believe God's big enough to handle him, and then trust God to show you, it's so exciting. Now, this is a principle, and I suggest you start with your husband. But it's a principle that works for anybody that you'd be praying for. But you see how God works first in our hearts? And he will change your heart. And he will make a difference in your spirit and in your attitude. He'll show you when there's unforgiveness if you'll let him. He'll show you where there's fear. And if you'll let him, he will, through his spirit, make you sensitive when you go to tightening up and getting apprehensive and anxious. If you listen, he'll let you know that you're just about to get all in a stew. So reject that fear. There's a verse that he gave me that was a part of rebuilding my life after the nervous breakdown. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. Many of you know that verse, and if you don't, you need to know it. Because God says, I'm not the one that gave you the spirit of fear. Any fear you had did not come from me. It didn't come from God. Where did it come from? It came from the devil, trying to take my peace away. And so what I do when I begin feeling an awareness of apprehension or tension or beginning to start to worry, I say, oops, thank you, Lord. You didn't give me that spirit of fear. That's not from you. And I turn to the devil then, and I tell him where to go. Now, listen, I don't have to put up with this. The Lord has given me all the victory over you I need. Now, go on, leave me alone. And I turn back, and the rest of that verse says, he has given me power, love, and a sound mind. So I turn back after I resist the devil, tell him to go and leave me alone. I thank you, Lord, for all the power I need over this fear. Thank you right now. And thank you, Lord, for all the love I need. Because so many times fears relate to people. And if you're apprehensive as to whether somebody is receiving you or not, you're not free to love them. You communicate your communication of love is blocked. Even though you just can't have the freedom to love while you're apprehensive about someone, which is fear. So thank you, Lord, for the power of this fear and for all the love I need at this very moment. And thank you for the sound mind or clear thinking so I'll know what to do. Fear need have no more power over you. God has provided all you need. So just ask him to make you alert when fear would try to take your peace away. He's come to give us peace. And that's a good sign. When our peace is gone, we don't have to put up with that. We need to find out why and move out and lay hold on God's provision.